Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, the 18th of September of 2023. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live in Midland, Michigan, where I live. We did have some difficulties getting it started. I'd rather not get into it, but it's good to be with you wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be accessing the program, wherever you are at, however you've tuned in. It's just good that you're and the Ministry of Helps Conference was a great conference. There was a lot of focus on, of course, you know, helps. And, you know, one of the things that was discussed was this idea where a pastor could do everything involved with Ministry of Helps, you know, other than, you know, teaching children's church, because unless God told them not to. But the thing with that is, well, first and foremost, you have to obey God. Obeying God is very important. And number two, it would make everything move so much slower. And there's not anything wrong with long church services as long as God's there and God's moving. But the thing is that imagine a church of my size, a church the size of mine, and he's the only usher. And so he's the one taking up the offering. And then we'll say he's the only one greeting at the door. He's the only one doing security. He's the only one doing this and that. Oh, my goodness. That's going to make things move pretty slow. If you have as great as he or she may be. In our case, it's a he, but well, some will just say, as great as he may be, he can't do all of it on his own. Not to mention that so often he's gone, particularly on Sundays. Thursday, he's basically always there. But when you have a pastor who's out on basically half the Sunday mornings, he can't do it by himself. Who's ever ministering the word? They can't necessarily do all the door greeting and all the different elements, do security, do this, do that, all at once. Takes a lot. Everybody has been called to the Ministry of Helps. If you're in the Kingdom of God, you're in a church, you've been called to the Ministry of Helps. Now, I'm trying to think, what kind of degree does it take to sweep? What kind of a degree does it take to vacuum? What kind of degree does it take to wash the parking lot? Oh, I'm waiting, and I can stop waiting because it doesn't take a degree. Does it take a degree to scrub the toilet either, even though, I mean, they use the toilet plunger thing. Yes, I know. I'm sorry I said that, but somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. And so, the Ministry of Helps is very important. Because it's part of what helps the ministry of Jesus go. even Jesus' disciples were ministry of helps. And they helped keep order. And because told them, you know, to separate them into groups of hundreds and fifties and tens and what have you, so that they weren't just all clustered in a spot where no one could find them, so that it would at least be done orderly. And, you know, and it would be decent and in order. This Ministry of Health is very important. And, you know, we're one of the churches that teach at my churches, but we had pastors who came from all over the nation. Canada, hey? Yeah, some from Canada, eh? To learn, to watch, to receive things from Dr. Barclay and the other church, and the other people who spoke on how, on what the Ministry of Helps is and why it's so important. I mean, even if you're a worship leader or a singer or play in the band or whatever, your church or you're in the Ministry of Helps too, because you're helping bring in the anointing of God that is needed, you know, so that your pastor can be ready to deliver the word and do whatever it is that God has for them to do in the service. This is about. And so, and it really is very important. But, you know, that's what it was about. So, plan for tonight is I'm going to do the quick announcements that I always give, sing a couple songs, get into the word of the Lord, and then I have football to get to. I have a Michigan game to talk about. I have Lions. I have Michigan State. I have the Wilmingdale High School. And I have another NFL shocker to discuss tonight in terms of for sports. They'll have Football Central near before I get into the singing and stuff. So the first thing I want to do is remind you about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been, how God has always been there for me. He's always been on my side. On our side, even when I was so little and going through these different medical things and at my very young age at that time, you know, when you're only months old and days old, you don't know how to. You don't know what faith is yet. But my mom did. She was learning, and she was steadfast in the faith. And thank God for Dr. Barclay. If it wasn't for him, I'm not sure I'd still be here, honestly. Ultimately, it's God that gets all the glory. Because I don't believe in any kind of man worship or anything like that. But I believe in giving credit where credit is due. So, yes, he had a part. And that was that Living Word Church who prayed. You know, they helped too. You know, my mom, she helped and all that, but ultimately all glory goes to God. And of course, the humans, they just all had their part. I thank God that he kept me alive. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com. Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com. Yes, R-I, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing to your life. Because, you know, I want it to be a blessing to your life. I really do. And honestly, it's not something that I take lightly. I really want you to be blessed. My mom was obedient to write the book. You know? And at first, she was like, well, I'm not exactly an author. And like, I'm not, you know, but God helped her. Sometimes God will call us to do stuff and we'll need help to do it. It might not always just be something real easy that you so easily know how to do. But she was obedient. She did it. Thing I would like to remind you about real quickly is the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. It helps to keep us going. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the program. In the search bar, you will want to type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, please, if you would, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like you to keep in mind related to that is that the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So please make a note of that if you would. And the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is he who soweth sparingly shall also reap. Sparingly. That means you might have more to give than what you're actually giving. Meaning you could be capable of giving more, but just stingy. And for whatever reason, you're just deciding, you know, you may just be deciding, you know, for whatever reason, you just don't feel like it's important to give. But it is important to give. And God loves a cheerful giver, not one that's all sad and doesn't want to do it. But he loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. That means they're not sad about it. But then it goes on to say, he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm still going, but I was just saying. But so as I get notifications that you've sown seed into the Miracle Man program, whenever I get notifications that someone has sown seed, I always thank God for it. I always do. I really do, because, you know, it not only encourages me, but it lets me know, you know, that someone's getting blessed. And that they feel like the show has been a blessing to their life. And I want the show to be a blessing to your life. I really do. That's why I come to you like this. And bring you the word of God like this. Because I love y'all. And I do that after I sing and then I pray and then get into the word of God. So, first off, sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. We're going to pray and then get into the word. And I'm going to teach tonight on the baptism of Jesus. And why is it? Why is baptism so important in the first place? And so I'm going to deal with that a little bit tonight. Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.
His favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and their family, and their children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Yeah. Oh, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're the one who shaped the heavens. You're the one who shaped the earth. You're the one who formed my heart long before my birth. I believe you'll always lead me. All my days have been ordained. All your thoughts toward me are holy, full of love and grace. Oh, you are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are worthy. You are the one, you are the one, everlasting. Lord, you are the one. You're the one who made the heaven. You're the one who shaped the earth. All your thoughts toward me are holy, full of love and grace. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are the one, everlasting. You are the one I will worship. You are the one I will serve all my days. You are the one. You are the one, everlasting. Lord, you are the one. You are the one. Thank you, Jesus, for every listener that tunes into this program, wherever they might be tuned in from. Thank you, Lord God. You know, whether it be from across this state, across this country, or across this planet. Thank you, Lord God, that you minister to them right where they are. You know, Lord God, you know what it is that they need. You know what they've been asking you for, is that you're meeting their needs. whether it's healing, whether they need some grace, whether they need you to forgive them of sin, whether, you know, they're believing God for a loved one, a prodigal to come home, the finances, you know, whatever it is that they're asking you for. Thank you that you are meeting that need for them right here, right now, because you know what they need, even when I don't, you do. Thank you, Master, that you are with them. You are for them, the needs represented tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for our time in the Word tonight, that these listeners will be ready to receive what it is that you have for them tonight. And that they would turn off any distraction that would try to distract them from receiving what you have for them tonight. And that they'd be able to focus on you and be steadfast for this next little bit while we study the Word of God tonight. Thank you. And now I'll make my confession, Master. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into the program, that finances come into the program, that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to take your Bible, go with me to Matthew 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. Praise God, Matthew 3. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the baptism of Jesus. And why is baptism important anyway? And so we're going to look at that tonight. Praise God. Matthew 3. I'm going to begin in verse number 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. I'm not sure I'd want to eat that. Locust and wild honey? That doesn't sound very good. Nonetheless, verse 5, "But went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw them with the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing," oh, no, Sadducees. Oh, they're so sad, you see. I don't know why they're all so sad, but they are. They're so sad. Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing. He said to them, "You brood of vipers, form of snakes. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children
for Abraham. Therefore, the axe is already laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water, come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fuego. Winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out the water. I know it's supposed to be when Jesus came out of the water, but I just said, nonetheless, said, when Jesus was baptized and went up out the water, at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit, capital S, of God, descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. Or we could say, this is my beloved son. With him I am well pleased. So we read about this baptism. Basically what will happen, you know, is, you know, where I go to church, we don't baptize our babies necessarily, not when they're infants or toddlers. I mean, if your church does, it's up to them. But where I go, we don't do that. We believe that for someone to be baptized, they need to be at the age of accountability, where they can decide for themselves. Follow Jesus now. We're going to follow Jesus. You should have given your life to Jesus by that point in order to be baptized. You need to be born again in order to be baptized so that it can really work for you and have the effect. The effect is the remission of sin. And what will happen is you'll be taken in the water. You know, I remember the day I got baptized. My mom reminded me years later that I had actually taken Reverend Saylor under the water with me. You know that, Cookie? Took him under with me by mistake. I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, I didn't mean to do it. But somehow that happened. I don't know how. I just think that was funny, but nonetheless, you know, I was baptized at a good young age, like 7 or so. But it's up to your family. It's up to when they think you're ready, when you think you're ready to be baptized. We don't baptize them like when they're tiny little babies, but but it's a big thing when someone gets baptized because it signifies the remission of sin. The old man is gone. The new man is here. And And there truly is meaning to it. It's not just some silly religious exercise. That's not what it's about at all. Even though you are taken down in the water, and you'll hear, you know, I'm here to water, you know, you should hear, I hereby water baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, that of the church. Because ultimately, it's Jesus Christ that's the head of the church. He should be the head of your church. Wherever you go to church, should be Jesus. Not the person that God has placed in there to feed you. But, you see, you know, when you're baptized, that old man goes in remission. You can choose to bring him back out, but you don't want to. You don't want to do that. That'll hurt you. And I remember it felt cool to be baptized. I mean, I was a youngin, like 7 or so, but you know, when I was, you know, it felt good, but still. You know, sometimes when someone gets taken under, you know, I think of my pastor. Demons literally left him when he got baptized. Demons literally left him once and for all. Demons that were hindering his life. Because at that point, you know, he had just gotten saved and formerly been a drinker. He went in the military. You know why he went in the military, honestly? So he could legally hurt people. Did you know that? That's actually why he went in there. I mean, obviously, he wanted to serve his country, you know, and grateful for that. But, you know, he just told, you know, his testimony, you know, and different missing penis. I mean, pieces, different bits and pieces over the years. I'm sorry, I don't know where that comes from, but bits and pieces over the years he has told, you know. And I always say when you talk about testimonies, the greatest testimony there is someone who stayed right with God through all these years and hasn't necessarily given in to all the darkness. And decided, you know, that through the whole lot, like, that they were going to start seeking something else instead of God. And that doesn't mean that there's never been temptation or anything, but ultimately, I've chosen God over other things, chosen to stay right with God. And I just made the decision to stay right with God and to not go down that wrong path that leads to destruction. Chosen throughout my days to stay on the straight and narrow and to stay right with God. Which I hope that you can be able to do that, to keep doing that as you walk through your life. That's what I'm doing as I'm walking through my life and walking out my own salvation. Is I've just been, you know, keeping on, staying right in the ways of God. Trusting in his will, and, you know, so Jesus goes and gets baptized by John, and John's like, well, Lord Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? That's after John tells people, after he tells them, one's coming greater than I, mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is the fire of God. This fire isn't like suddenly you're just going to burn in your natural body. No. It's a God fire. Fire baptized. That's where we get fire baptized from. And so, and then he goes in the water. He comes out of the water. And, you know, then it says the Spirit of God ascended like a dove. Ascended like a dove on him. And then the voice says, you know, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. And then, you know, after that, he goes, gets tempted by the devil, and then goes and begins to preach and begin his ministry and doing the things that he did, you know, all over the world, you know, to preach and to deliver, to heal, to set free. And so, but fire baptism, you know, that's called being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's like a whole different thing from just being baptized in water. Amen, because after you get baptized with water, then after that, you know, you can do the next thing, and that's getting the Holy Ghost. That's where you can find yourself start praying in tongues. And I know there's some of you who don't know what that is. Why do we do it? It it's a way of connecting with God. But about that, you know, when you pray in tongues, someone might not know exactly what you're praying, but God knows what you're praying when you pray in tongues, and you build up your spirit when you do it. You're building up your spirit. And you're praying out your future. That's what you're doing when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the spirit. And that's what you're doing. You know? That's why you want to be. And there, besides that, there's just so much more power when you're the Holy Ghost. And you have him to work in your life. And you don't just know God as a being, but you have the Spirit of God at work in your life, ultimately leading you, guiding you, his Spirit leading you. And then being able to discern things. And in this day and age, you know, you really should have discernment in this day and age. I mean, we're living in a weird day. But then again, it's the last of the last days, so it'll be weird. But it might not quite be in the way that we might have thought, necessarily, because, you know, there's things that Jesus tells us what the last days will be like. But then some of the ways we see it, you just go, wow. But then again, it's the last of the last days, and you got to be ready for it's coming. You got to be ready for it's coming, and not be like, oh, that house I wanted to build, that spouse I wanted to marry, now I won't be able to do it. Well, you know, as you live on the earth, you know, you still go about building your house, planning for your future, and what have you. You know, get married, but don't lose sight of God. He'll come like a twinkle of an eye. He'll come in the clouds of heaven, power and great glory. And then we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. That doesn't mean that he'll come on a cloudy day. You know what? Maybe to prove his point, he'll actually come on a nice sunny day when it's like 80 degrees outside. Or maybe it'll be when it's below zero. But who knows? He actually told us, we do not know the day or the hour at which he will come. We don't know. But this baptism that we read about tonight, this baptism that's in the Bible, Jesus even asks, you know, so his disciples, you know, John's baptism from heaven or from men? You know? And then the disciples say, well, if we say from heaven, in heaven, then you might say, you know, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, then maybe we... And then Jesus said, well, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. But ultimately, it's a God thing. Being baptized is a God thing. It is. And, you know, it's a great thing. It's a supernatural God we have. It's not a natural. We don't serve a natural God. Nope, he's supernatural. He's super supernatural. Because there's a dark supernatural too, but I don't know about you, but I stay away from that. I stay away from that dark dark supernatural. I totally stay away from it. It's not worth it. But the super supernatural. Yeah. And well, that's what I focus on tonight. When I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus, who is the author, finisher of my faith. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for this word, for this baptism that you underwent, Jesus. Thank you for what baptism means for each of us who do it. And that remission of sin, Lord God, thank you that these listeners who don't know you, that they would give their life to you right now. And just get right with you, surrender themselves to you. Whether they have known you in the past or not, if they don't know you, may they give their life to you. If they do know you, may they come home and get right with you, Jesus. In your matchless name, amen. In terms of high school level, real quick. So Friday night at Elmer Engel Stadium in Bay City, Midland High went in there and totally destroyed the Wolves of Bay City Central 42-7. Alex Henderson threw for a couple different touchdown passes. Threw out one interception, but Central didn't move the ball very far as a result of that interception. But Noah Grocek only he only carried the ball six times, but he ended up with over 100 yards. So like 15 yards per carry. Plus. More like, actually, closer to 20 yards per carry. But should have given him the ball more often. 400 yards of offense, the Canucks did. And then Noah Wall had over 100 yards too. So two different Noahs had the ball. But great to see another great win by the Berlin Canucks, who will be at home Friday to take on the Traverse City Central Trojans for homecoming. Dow hosted Bay City Western at Midland Community Stadium Friday night. They won 17-7. Both Midland and Dow are each 3-1. In terms of college football, Michigan got a nice 37-7 win over Bowling Green. Kind of an ugly start for Michigan, as it was like 10-7 at halftime. But then they got to rolling. And Lake Coral ran for over 150 yards and a couple touchdowns. So great performance by Quorum. And McAfee threw for a good amount of yards also. As the Wolverines are now 3-0 and ranked number 2 in the latest Associated Press polls. Michigan State suffered a drubbing by Washington, 46-7. As their off-the-field issues with Mel Tucker turn into on-the-field issues, as Washington State put up over 500 yards of offense, 600 actually, like the most that Michigan State has given up in a game, quite honestly. So, not a great game for Spartans. For the Spartans, they are now 2-1. The Lions, they fell 34-28 to Seattle in their home opener. I think the key momentum changer for that game was when the Lions had the ball and were moving, and then Jared Goff throws an interception, and then one of the defensive backs for Seattle takes it back to the house for a pick six, which is an interception return for a touchdown, a pick six. And so the Lions go back down in the field, not much time left at all. They moved their way down quite a bit, but then on fourth down, they decide to go for a field goal. They got the field goal. The game is tied back up. Now, it's got to go to overtime. Seattle gets the toss. Time going down the field. But they end up getting a touchdown. Had they gotten a field goal, the Lions would have gotten possession. We could have seen what they could have done with that. But not the way it ended up. Instead, Seattle got a touchdown. They win 34-28 over the Lions. Three turnovers. I'm sorry, folks, but when you have three turnovers, that's not going to help your cause so well. Also, on that last touchdown by Seattle, when you think about it, there should have been a flag thrown on Seattle, but there wasn't one. Should have been some kind of, yeah, there should have been a hold called. That would have moved the ball back and would have been like third down or something. But, hey, it's the game. Got to regroup and play Atlanta next Sunday. Surprised me yesterday, the Bengals losing again. This time they lost to another AFC North foe, the Ravens. I mean, I get it. The Ravens are a good team. But people on ESPN radio were making it seem like, one of the people that I was listening to was saying, the Bengals may very well count them out yet. That's the boat I'm on. Don't count the Cincinnati Bengals out yet. And I do think that Joe Burrow will get his stuff back together and get that injury healed up to himself. I think they're going a great run. No, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know that. Now, of course, if the Lions were to somehow make the Super Bowl, they'd probably have to stop Seattle again, somehow find a way to stop Seattle. Well, based on yesterday, at least. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.